Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
What? Oh, God. It's you. Well, you've just caught me urinating in some bins all the way from sunny Brussels. But that's sleepwalking. And since you're here, why not continue your deep dive into the minds of my minions with our latest House of Fear roundtable rant? Co-creators and scribes Alex Lynch and Sam Thomas merge with composer and sound scapegoat Odin Ornhill-Marson to discuss how the House of Fear first met Ramon. I'm glad it meant something to them. I'll freely admit, I was probably trying to rob them. Now what? Oh, you're hungry for more actual terror tapes. Listen, I'm still digging, but you can quit. You're crying. It's shameful. We're on it. Oh, it's coming, like a pervert on a washing machine. So, until then, listen on.
I suppose there's a question of how Ramon got involved.
Well, I just happen to know him.
He's right.
Of course, Sam knew him. Let's say he's the horror connoisseur. He knows all the really dodgy people.
Well, he was working. I think it was. Yeah. Well, I first encountered him in the toilets in GAY late. He was what I thought That's he was doing was handing out towels, but it turned out he was just stealing perfume. And we got chatting, and he sort of then wandered back through central London and told me all about how he was going to hurt me. And I knew then. I'd found my man. And it turns out he lived in an abandoned castle.
Great.
When did you find out?
Yeah, no, just the English Channel.
Channel. When did you find out he was actually into horror?
Around about the time he stopped punching me. He was definitely, it turned out he was more of a fan of the older stuff. He didn't own a television, which was quite confusing. But he said
impressive.
He just said it was remarkably easy to break into cinemas, and especially the smaller the town, the easier the task, which was inspirational. So, yeah, that's it. And you met him quite soon after, but you've never actually shaken hands with him or touched him in any way?
No, I always kept a distance. And at the time, I was blaming, COVID and lockdown and everything. And now I'm rapidly running out of
can't use
reasons
that as an excuse
to,
anymore.
Yeah, I'm rapidly running out of reasons to not be in such close proximity.
Well, it's the way he introduces himself with, I can break your fingers in 17 different ways. You just don't want to shake his hand.
He does say that a lot.
Yeah, no. And I'm very, what's the word, brittle?
Sure.
Yeah, you need a pain threshold, I think, to enter into any kind of
We suffer his oddities because he provides a very important aspect to the show.
And he knows where we live.
Yeah.
Yes, we do have to.
He is remarkably quite the consummate professional once the kind of
things are rolling.
Once things are rolling.
You get him enough velvet.
And he's on. Mm. He's on. Yeah, he's absolutely on. Yeah,
that's the thing. Roaring fire, a nice big deep seat.
Yeah. And we managed to sort of accommodate his entourage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You'll have heard in like the languages. Mm-hmm. Languages, sponsorships, and the women that occasionally follow
it's
him
amazing
around.
Amazing, they just drift in and out of his house.
Because it's him that sorted the languages sponsor. Mm. We wouldn't have been able to make the show if we didn't have the sponsor from
That's
languages.
True.
So.
Closely related to Mrs. Freshley's, I think, as well. The British version, I think, of Mrs. Freshley's as well. Right. They're very, you know, they're both able to produce high quality products.
Yeah,
in that very way. Good.
I think they've been trying to work out some kind of collaboration, but for what is a mystery.
Well, it's difficult. You can't really contest Langridge's reach. They do so much. They're very good.
Yeah, and their lawyers are very good.
Mm, they have to be.
Yeah. So, talking about the influences for Terror Tapes, what were you guys sort of cite as being sort of influences for the format, the tone, all the sorts of things that we find in the show? Where did all of those things come from?
Well, we had a pretty clear starting point for the format. I've always been a fan. I know Alex too has been a fan of Inner Sanctum Mysteries, which is a really old, I think it's a 50s,
40s,
40s radio series, with a lot of co-stars, including, and you might be able to see him here, Boris Karloff, not in makeup, but it was a sort of a mystery of the week series where you had a rotating cast. The biggest influence was probably Langridge's, because they had a deal, a sweet deal with Lipton Iced Tea.
And Colgate tooth powder. Tooth powder.
Yeah, they'd have a sort of a body in the boot of a car episode, and then, you know, they'd go, you know what? It reminds me of the need to clean your teeth. And then sort of they'd be like, sort of, you know what he needs? A nice, cool, refreshing iced tea.
But also there were some episodes where it would be like... there would be like an assistant kind of thing. So it's like, you know, sort of going, if there was a ghost in the house, what would you do? Well, I'd want to make sure I was wearing this jewelry. And
So that's definitely been aped with Langridge's ramped up to a psychotic extent. I mean, and in terms of the, even the format with the host, there was a host of the week. They I can't remember his name. They changed it, but it was the same creepy voiceover. So when we found Ramon, we just thought it was perfect.
Captured it.
But I mean, they didn't rummage through people's bins. But no.
And the host of the Inner Sanctum would kind of do the sort of like terrible puns, and then kind of go, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And the production values as well were really quite high. In the 40s, obviously, radio was a much more preeminent medium.
Sure.
And it's actually like, I mean, it's very, obviously very melodramatic, but it's like, it's done well. Mm. Like, it's really,
really listenable.
Really good.
I mean, there's a reason, they're quite hard to find.
There are loads on
outside
YouTube.
Of the internet. Yeah.
There are loads on YouTube that you can listen to, but yeah.
And so the Lights Out is another one. Lights Out's a really good alternative. And so we, you know, I think that was primarily the format, but then in terms of the content, we didn't want to make something that seemed classic comedy per se. Not always the format, the links were going to be quite classic and old-fashioned, but with the other influence, the big influence was Giallo. Some people call it Giallo. Argento in particular.
Oh, completely. Dario Argento, as I said before, like that was kind of my gateway into like, just I don't know, just it was very different. I loved how bright and colorful it was, and like the aesthetic of it was just so like,
and there's a campness, and added to the sort of the sound, the dubbing is wonderful. Yes. The complex weird dubbing just fabulous. I mean, they're really all, and again, you have that slight, I mean, the bonkersness of, I mean, I'm looking at it now, Phenomena.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Well, even you, but Deep Red was probably the starting point.
Yes, like Suspiria and Deep Red were like the two that I absolutely like loved and still do. They're like my favourite Argento films. But yeah, things like Phenomena, like it's Donald Pleasance and a chimp. I mean, it's just, it's so...
it's a game show it's that so... has lost a time.
But then also, I'm like, you know, big sort of like British comedy nerd. So I love things like Shaun of the Dead, Garth Marenghi, League of Gentlemen, and all of that sort of very British stance on like these... on like big sort of high stakes scenarios, and that's what we're sort of coming up with. So like Lease Alive, for example, was the first story I came up with because it was that thing of combining a someone in like a rented property, the sort of very mundane problems of living in rented property combined like high stakes of a zombie epidemic kind of thing. So I really wanted to do that with the show and with like all the stories really. And yeah, just, I guess also just, the more I got to know Sam and the more we wrote, the more like I was watching more horror and he was like introducing me to more really strange, classic stuff. And like Amicus was a big influence as well. Hammer House of Horror
itself. As opposed to a portmanteau, it reminds me more of the sort of the episodic weekly TV shows like Tales of the Unexpected and Hammer House of Horror.
Yeah.
But things would weave themselves into the scripts. I mean, dogs, as we just mentioned, became, we haven't released it, but Mutts.
Yeah, we've got a trailer for a fake film called Mutts.
Might be loosely related.
just loosely.
Yeah. And British horror's got such a lineage, and it's the freakery as well. Yeah. And the everyday horror is quite compelling.
And actually, the it's funny, good thing you mentioned the trailers, actually, because that was something that...
Guess
I've always like I don't know I've always so this is a bit ridiculous but Umbrellas, the kind of horror film called Umbrellas, is a joke
that's the trailer in episode one.
Yes, there's a fake Hitchcock style horror film called Umbrellas. Now, I mean, that was a joke I came up with when I was 12 13, and okay. I made like on PowerPoint made like a poster trailer for this horror film called Umbrellas. So I'd always been really... And then when you saw things like... It's sort of like... You know when Tarantino and Rodriguez did Grindhouse?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they had the fake... The trailers. They had the trailers that were done by Eli Roth and Edgar Wright. Yeah. And... forgive me. I can't remember who the rest of them were. But they were really good.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to do something like that. There's also just something really funny about like some of those old horror trailers when you watch them. They're either so long... and give away everything.
Yes.
Or they make absolutely no sense. Like when you get the foreign films that have been repackaged for like an American audience and you're just like, what the hell is this? And we really wanted to do, I really wanted to do something like that. And especially that hadn't been done. Yeah, it's a very visual thing. I wanted to see if we could do it on audio.
I mean, exactly. It's such a lovely pairing in the first place. The idea of the framework being really old fashioned and traditional. And the content being, well, it was so varied. It started with Argento, but it went everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, because obviously The Charlatan came out of, I suppose, more paranoid thrillers.
Yeah. The Charlatan's definitely from a different space. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I think they all are. Fish Food's got more. Fish Food was me basically trying to write my own kind of Argento style horror.
Yeah.
But
set in an aquarium.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But I think the thing about the fake trailers is having it's so much fun writing those because you just pick the most bizarre lines of dialogue with no context. And what's even better is when you give them to the actors, you don't give them any context either.
Yeah.
You just kind of go, just do what you want with it, really. They give you various variations on it. And we've even done, for our new trailers, we had a reward in our crowdfunder where if you paid a certain amount, you could have your own voice cameo in one of the trailers. So we have a few of our backers doing just random lines.
I mean, it's great. Some of them are wonderful.
Yeah, we're so lucky.
I'm looking forward to some of the lines, especially coming back. Test some friendships. It'll be great.
Yeah.
I think also like the other thing is like the horror is like, I mean, going in the anthology direction as well. Things like The Twilight Zone.
And Twilight. You know, I cried.
Yeah,
a lot.
The Twilight Zone and Creepshow. Yes. Well,
yeah. Yeah, Serling stuff. The Twilight Zone stuff is really good as a starting point. It's really fun.
I think that's definitely my biggest anthology entry point of that era, like Twilight Zone. I watched a lot of the original series. And obviously before then, you know, came to know it through things like The Simpsons or Futurama because it's so parodied, it's so embedded in popular culture. And so I just had to see what it was all about, and I found it all. And Twilight Zone is very special, and that Rod Serling presence.
Oh, it stands up. He's aged so well. Physically not so much, culturally yes, but
the dead never do age.
No, they look shit.
Yeah, and we should say so. Rod Serling in the Twilight Zone, he is sort of the presenter. You hear his voice, and in a lot of the episodes, you actually see him there smoking a cigarette in a black suit in the scene. But sort
imagine
of
if you will.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's that guy, and it's just so iconic. Completely. And the stories are so well written as well, because you feel like a lot of the writers were just people who penned stories, and story was such a huge part of their lives before TV. You know, it's
the people they brought in were incredible.
Incredibly talented.
Matheson writing for them. And Serling stuff stands out. It's just it's
his
really
stuff.
Good.
I remember one of the other big writers who was there throughout. It's called Charles Beaumont, I think, and his stuff is. Some of his episodes are incredible. So some of them are super strong, and then obviously you also have the music there as well, and the subject matter. They went everywhere. You know, went from thriller to horror to sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, that reminds me, I haven't mentioned the other two shonky American descendants of Twilight Zone, Tales from the Dark Side.
Tales
from the Crypt, with the Crypt Keeper in particular, but Tales from the Dark Side, that intro.
Tales from the Dark Side, yes.
Again, the gravelly voiceover was a fan, yeah. Not quite the Twilight Zone. But I mean, pretty cool. Anyway,
that's what we wanted to kind of mix again the kind of two. So we make it. It's sort of like we're paying homage to those things, but we're also doing it in this kind of slightly shonky way as well, and very kind of like, what would it look like if a British, company did it?
And there you have it, curtain twitchers. A leery look behind the curtains of fear. And if you liked that, if you had the temerity to miss an episode, or if you want to follow me like a security guard in a supermarket, go to a Terror Tapes Pod on Instagram or Facebook. Want to buy a piece of me? Well, go to ramonfear.com/feedme. And get your hands on the good stuff, the precious merch, the shiny things. Keep the fear in your ear.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is part of Podomity, the podcast comedy network. We're the best kept secret on Acast. Why not laugh at what else we've got? Check out Podomity.com now.